Welcome to another Mother Podcast, a safe place for stepmoms to unravel the blended chaos and share lessons learned, the good, the bad, and the high conflict.
We're your hosts, Dana.
And Amanda.
Just a couple of stepmoms who have struggled to find their role. Now let's grab a drink and talk some shit.
So today we just have a quick joke to lead us into our topic.
Because neither of us have anything positive to say.
Right? When in doubt, Google. So why did the narcissist cross the road?
Why?
They thought that was your boundaries.
Yeah, I like it.
Funny, not funny.
It's funny. I just want to apologize in advance, though, for my weird microphone. I'm just looking and it looks weird, Amanda. So if it's quiet, I do apologize to everybody right now. So yeah, we're talking about being raised by a narcissist today.
Yeah, I think this goes hand in hand with a lot of blended families. I don't think there's any short of people going through this with their own situations. I know you were raised by someone who you think maybe a narcissist, and I was raised by someone who was definitely
a narcissist.
Yeah.
And again, I think it's something that you have to kind of be diagnosed because it's like a personality disorder, right?
Yeah.
But let's just say narcissistic tendencies for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know I definitely was, and something I don't think I realized was even a word or something I could classify my parent as until probably like last year, I'd probably say. I knew it was fucked up. I just didn't know there was a word for it, I guess.
That's exactly how I would describe it too. Like I knew that I think my I'm mostly speaking about my mom in these conversations, but I think, yeah, for sure. I just thought that she was a little bit off and had some strange habits, but now I'm like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. I totally agree with you. And I just thought, I don't know. I just thought maybe she had a very dominating behavior. So, but I think first off, it's good to maybe some people aren't familiar with what it actually is. So Amanda was amazing and was able to get the definition for us. So it's one of several types of personality disorders, a mental condition in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance, a deep need for excessive attention and admiration, troubled relationships, and a lack of empathy for others.
All right. So where the hell do we even begin here?
So I think most people would honestly say that they're co-parenting with a narcissist.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
I don't feel like we're particularly doing that in our situation. But like I said, I think my childhood, I feel for my dad.
Yeah. So did he... I know you said your mom kind of wasn't in the picture for very long. Do you think, like, did your dad still co-parent with her often?
So my mom actually raised my brother and I primarily until I was around 8. Mm-hmm. And then there were some things that happened, and my dad went to go and get custody of us as well as my sister, who has a different mom. He was actually able to gain full custody from both of our moms, which is not very common, especially like he was self-representing. So he didn't have a lawyer for a lot of his court cases. Mm-hmm. I think. Wow. And then, yeah, basically once she wasn't in control anymore, she moved to Northwest Territories. And I saw her maybe half a dozen times between 8 and 16.
Wow.
My dad didn't co-parent with her. She didn't co-parent with my dad. Like from what I saw, like there was many times where she would call and say something, and if she didn't get the answer she wanted, it was like immediately a bunch of screaming and then hanging up. things like that. So it, like, we didn't talk to her really. She was just not there.
Wow. So do you feel like maybe the narcissistic behavior was towards you and your siblings, or do you think it was more towards like your dad, or do you think it was more both?
I think it was just like the perception that she had of herself and like how people saw her. Mm-hmm. Like as soon as she wasn't, I think for her, it was like, how do I explain to people that I lost custody of my kids without looking like an asshole?
True.
Right. For her, it was just easier to take off. And yeah. I mean, hindsight as an adult, like there were a lot of people that she had friendships or relationships with after she moved who had no idea she had kids.
Wow.
Or just like things that like she would kind of make comments like later on in my life and like reference when we were kids and the things that she would do. And I'm like, you weren't there. I was actually raising your other kid.
Yeah, no kidding. So giving yourself credit when it wasn't due kind of thing.
Yeah. And it was just almost like she lied to herself so many times and like created this fantasy in her head almost. But like, I would not be surprised if she could pass a lie detector for a lot of the lies that she tells just because she like believes them so in depth.
Yeah. Well, and she probably, I think that's one of the traits too. It's like if you, I kind of remember now, again, my dad was no saint either, but I mean, I remember him saying a lot, like she, you know, says them, my mom used to say them out loud so that she could believe it. Herself. Mm-hmm. It's like if you say it so many times you believe it to be true.
Yeah.
It's so sad. You know, I don't know if there's any type of remedy for being a narcissist or if it's just, you know, going through some major therapy or what it is, but
yeah, I mean, from what I was reading, and I obviously didn't go in as deeply as you could, but from what I'm reading, it obviously is easier if it's caught earlier or right. If it's diagnosed earlier, and then different therapies and treatments and whatnot can help, but It is a mental disorder just like any other disorder.
Right. Wow. So
was there something like anything specific that happened that made you maybe think that your parent was a narcissist in some way?
I mean, as a kid, no, but I think if I could describe it in any way, it would be more of she withheld love from you if you didn't do what she wanted.
Yeah.
And she still does that. And, you know, I mean, that's why I ended up so many provinces away from her is because like, I couldn't deal with it. And I just thought anywhere is better than here, at the nice age of 17. And then when I had my son was when I was like, cause I was home alone, like, I don't know if anybody really knows this, but I didn't meet my spouse until after I had my son. He was 8 months old when we met my current spouse now. And so I was alone during my pregnancy. I was alone during my birth. And my mom ended up coming out to be with me because she couldn't really pinpoint the day I was actually going to have him. And I wasn't thanking her enough for doing the things that she was doing as my mom, you know, like I'm just focused on trying to breastfeed my son because he just would not breastfeed.
And you didn't exactly have the easiest birth either.
No, the birth was horrible. I ended up having a C-section and then having to go back in for surgery after my C-section because I had torn I still don't have the right story for that. But so I basically had two pretty major surgeries within a day. And so anyway, it was hectic to begin with. And she just said I wasn't thanking her enough for what she was doing. And I honestly was just, I like to give credit where it's due. And I said thank you when I could, but my mind was so focused on my new baby. And I remember it was just at the point where she was like, I'm not doing it anymore. And I was like, I'm sorry, mom, but I'm trying here, but I'm very much focused on my son. And again, I said thank you as much as I could. And she sat there and just told me she's not helping me with anything. Like, I had my cesarean, I wasn't able to bend over and bath him or do this or do that. And she just sat there and said no. So I was like, you know what? Then get the fuck out.
Good for you.
And she, like I said, you can get a hotel. That's fine. You can be around your grandbaby, but I'm not housing you if you're going to treat me like this in my own home.
Yeah.
And luckily her boyfriend got on the phone with her and I guess talked her off being so friggin' stupid, but no, she never apologized, obviously.
Of course.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I was obviously the wrong one, but that's just one of the many things. Like, if I think looking into the future of like my stepdaughter having a child or my son having a child with his spouse, like,
there is
no way I would ever do that. Like, there's no way.
No way. I wouldn't even treat my friends like that.
No, I wouldn't even treat friggin' my neighbor or anybody like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's honestly crazy to me to even think about, but she really, 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 that's majority of the problems in her life. She doesn't have a lot of people that want to be around her these days. And it's because like, she just constantly needs that type of reassurance that she's amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh my God. I totally get that for sure. I feel like my mom is like more extreme than like more extreme in the sense that I just like looking back now, I'm like, there's so many moments where how did I sit there and just like nod my head and let you be batshit crazy?
Right.
Like, for example, she was on that show like years ago.
Well, wait, she was on a show?
Yeah. So License to Drill.
What the fuck?
I think it was.
Oh my God. Okay.
So, and she called, okay, first of all, my dad used to watch that show all the time. And when it first like was airing on TV, I hadn't seen her in years. And my dad calls me downstairs and he's like, I literally almost just had a heart attack. I saw, he said some words, her face on the TV and like was not expecting it, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, anyway, she basically just like, she was a camp clerk, I think, up there. So it's kind of like a hotel clerk, like checking someone into camp and blah, blah, blah. You do make really good money in the oil field doing it. But like when she was talking about it to like families and stuff, it was like, I had a private helicopter. And like, there was one time where I was on the phone with her and she was like, oh, the helicopter's here, I have to go. I was like,
yeah, same. Hey,
thanks
same
for the 3-minute conversation. Talk to you in 3 years.
My helicopter is also here. I need to leave.
Right?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Just like just some ridiculous.
Yeah. I know some people that are like that. And again, I honestly, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt all the time. And I'm definitely somebody who's like, okay, why are they like this? It must stem from whatever. But it's like, at some point, you've had enough of the shit and you're not. Like, you just don't take it. Yeah. And I'm currently at that point. Like, my mother and I got into a huge fight actually on my son's birthday, and we're just not even talking because it's hard for me to just take it. Like, I can't just take it. I finally lost my shit. I've been really polite as an adult. When I was a kid, like, I used to just like there was shit flying because like I always fought back.
Yeah.
And now as an adult, I'm just like, whatever. She just is who she is. And I lost my shit a couple weekends ago. Yeah. And it's hard
because it seems to be like on important days. Like, his birthday should have just been his birthday.
Well, again, that's the thing. So she called, said happy birthday for what seemed to be under a minute to talk to him. And then just went on and on and on about whatever else is going on in the world. She badmouths my sister, she badmouths me, and then she'll basically condemn me on my thoughts about COVID, and then we got into it.
those were fighting words,
and I was just like, you know what, I had enough, and now I'm just mad that you've made this not about my son's birthday. So
yeah,
whatever, I'm done.
That was like my husband and nanny the other week when we were telling them, they were talking about it and they're yelling at each other on the phone, and I'm like sitting in the kitchen just making dinner like, I just wanted you to call her to say Happy Easter.
Yeah, like, I love you. And it just, yeah, right? It sucks that it's torn people in two different directions. But I mean, I'm just at the point where I'm like, okay, like, if that's how you think, that's cool. Like, that's fine.
Do you think if your son didn't have a relationship with her, it would be easier for you to cut ties? Or would that be something you'd want to do? Or?
I think it's just like one of those things, like, she doesn't really, like, I ended up whining to your husband, and just so everybody knows, that's my cousin. So on the weekend, he had ended up messaging, I think he sent me a link or something about something going on in politics or whatever. And I was
the
like,
usual from him.
Yeah. And I just like, bleh, was like having a rough day or whatever. But we're definitely like the black sheep anyway.
Yeah.
And, I think you are, and your husband is, and my husband is. So I think that's why we all get along so well. But honestly, like, there's not much more I could do to cut ties. Like, I don't travel back that way, really. I don't, like, we don't talk very much on a regular basis. And when we do, like, it's very toxic.
Yeah.
She just literally will get on the phone and just like talk a bunch of shit about like my sister and whoever else in the family. Like, it's never positive.
Yeah.
And she does not care about anything I'm doing, whether it's this podcast, whether it's my two other businesses, whether it's what my kids are fucking doing, because they're amazing kids. Like, if I tell her, she just like changes the subject. Like, she's not supportive, and she doesn't, or she'll just carry on about what she's been doing with like my niece. And I think that's great, but I feel like she's trying to make me feel bad for not living near her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Do you feel like it's like a lot of passive aggressive manipulation?
Oh my God. So much of it.
One of the things that when I was reading about it, I will just read it off the page because I don't want to fuck it up. But one of the things that like the effects on the psychological development of a child from being parented by a narcissist, it said that the children lack a sense of self because of the high amount of projective identification. Mm-hmm. So a defense mechanism in which a person projects unacceptable qualities onto another person. So like you said, how she withheld love, like that was like a very passive aggressive way of like, I don't want to say training you, but like almost like conditioning you of what was acceptable to her and what wasn't.
Yeah.
My mom was more like, she only knew how to love with like material things. And I'm such an emotional creature that those things are just like, meh.
Yeah.
Like, they're obviously nice if they're meaningful, but when it's just a material thing, it's, that's all it is.
It didn't work for you.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. I can understand that. And do you feel like that's affected you as a parent today?
I mean, I'm sure it does to a point, but she left when I was 8, and my dad raised us as a single dad until I moved to Alberta when I was just before I turned 17. They were so night and day. Like, I tell everybody, like, I'm so thankful my parents split up. I'm so thankful my dad didn't spend like his last years with my toxic mother.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't imagine those things. And my brother is a lot more like my mom than I am, I think. And when they get together, it's like fire and gas. Like, sometimes they'll call. Like, one time they called and they were fighting while she was driving on the highway. My mom punched my brother in the face while she was driving, and my brother called my husband, and he's like, well, where are you now? And he's like, in the passenger seat still. Like,
oh my God.
I just would never. Like, I'm not a conflict person at all.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the only time that I ever almost physically fought her was over my brother.
Really?
Yeah, she has said some like pretty hurtful things about my brother and my dad who passed. So those are my buttons. Like, I try to just like not react to a lot of things, but those are definitely my
You're protective.
Push me and go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you have every right to be. And I don't get the concept of talking shit about your own kids. And then in turn, like, I know it's easy to talk about your ex, I guess, but it's like, she clearly knows what type of relationship you have or had with your dad.
Yeah.
So it's like she's trying to degrade it as if so she's the star of the show.
Yeah, to raise hers, right? Yeah. And that was the interesting part, you know, is like, I don't feel like she had as many reasons to talk negatively about my dad as my dad did about her. And my dad didn't really talk about her much while I was growing up unless we asked questions. Mm-hmm. And I mean, after a certain age, if I asked questions, he just gave me court papers and transcripts and kind of let me make my own opinion.
That's really cool of him.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, personally, I think it depends on the kid. It depends on the child. He obviously felt like you were mature enough to handle the real, you know, like enough to give you the paperwork to be like, this is what it is, right? Yeah. And so when you read it, were you shocked or were you just like, yeah, go figure?
I don't think I was actually really all that shocked. There was a few things like that she said in court that were just like blatant lies. Like at one point she went back and my dad was trying to set up like child support, and she told the judge that she had paid like thousands of dollars on braces for me. And I was like, that's news to me. I've never had braces before.
Oh my gosh.
Just like small things like that where it's like, I can't believe that she would just like literally fabricate something. Like, it's not even based off of anything.
Right.
So yeah, just small things like that where I'm like, oh my goodness. I wonder if she believes those things.
I mean, she might, or she's just trying to make it look good. Cause I mean, I personally know from personal experience, like lies can be told in court, lies can be told in arbitration, and it's basically just one person's word against the other.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess because I'm just not a person that would like, I just wouldn't, I have nothing to lie about like that in court. Right. So when we have gone in the past, I just don't feel a need to do those things. So I'm like a little bit mind blown when people are just like making shit up as they go along.
You know what is really funny? Just thinking of it right now, it makes me laugh. So we had like our first, like my spouse and his ex, like my stepdaughter's mom, they did their arbitration kind of thing in the beginning, and you know, it didn't really go well. And, you know, it was this and that and the other. And so then all of a sudden it was like your spouses were supposed to come. So I came and her spouse came, and I was just like, oh man, she came in with this big old briefcase and like slams it on the table. And you're like, wow, like that's a lot of like documents.
Did you bring that? I can't imagine what else you'd have in there.
Well, I'm like, we don't even communicate. So it's like, I can't imagine what it could be. Right. And it's like, she just did it just to do it, to make you kind of sweat, even though we were like, there's nothing in there. And yeah, sure enough, she had to open it to like get out her like pen or pencil or whatever. And there was like two pieces of paper in there. I don't even know what they were because she never even used anything from that besides the pen.
That's the best.
I was like, that's a good tactic. She must have Googled it or something.
Oh, probably. She probably saw it in like a bio mom Facebook group.
Yeah, I was like, you know, like props for like trying to make us sweat. It didn't work because we don't fight often enough. Like we're literally just silent, but it's funny anyway.
So another thing that I actually read that I thought was interesting is, the internet said that. Most children of narcissistic parenting grow up to either be overachievers or self-sabotagers.
Mm.
And I was actually reading it when I was with my husband, and you know his mom, but she is also a narcissist. And to be clear, we don't have relationships with either of our moms by choice. But we were talking about it. I'm for sure an overachiever. Like, will keep going until I have an anxiety rash and need to take an Ativan. And he is a self-sabotager. Like, I almost think when he gets to a point, he just believes like he doesn't believe that he deserves certain things. So he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what we talked about.
And I think it does go either way. And I think maybe it goes in shifts too with your life. Like, I think at first I was a self-sabotager.
Yeah.
And now I'm an overachiever.
Yeah. It's hard to find the balance in between the two though.
It is. And I like, yeah, like I didn't know my worth. I thought I was. And so, I mean, my hubby and I were kind of talking about this too at one point, and I was like, well, you know, like my mom has her moments, and I still will defend her sometimes, and I don't know why. And I'm like, you know, she has her moments, like she's been there for me. And my husband was like, yeah, she's there for you in your low moments because she likes you down there.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that's so true. Like, I didn't even think about that. Like, she is such a good mom to me when I'm like in the dumps. Like, when I was going through my divorce, like while I'm pregnant, and was like completely just distraught, I thought my whole world was falling apart. Like, she was there for me, man. And she was like, every day I'd call her when I got up because I'd wake up heartbroken, and I'd call her before I went to bed because I was heartbroken. And it was like, she was there for me even though she was so far away. And as soon as things got good for me, she stopped being nice, you know?
Yeah.
Which is so sad. And I think she was really hoping that I would just be like a shit mom too. And I think that bothers her, that my relationship is good with my kids. Like, we, you know, we obviously have our ups and downs, especially with my stepdaughter. Like, blended is tough. And she told me in the very beginning, like, because she was also a stepmom, like, don't do it. And because she was a horrible stepmom. She did not treat those boys like her own. She did not make them feel welcome. I mean, my dad wasn't innocent in it either, but she just wasn't good. And I remember we visited one time, we went back to Toronto, and we went to Toronto for the day, and we did like the aquarium and the Blue Jays game and this and that. And then my mom and her boyfriend kind of picked us up at the train station when we were coming home. And my stepdaughter was just, you know, skipping away ahead of us in her little dress. And I was like, oh, look how cute she looks. And I said that to my mom, and my mom was like, don't say that too much to her. And I was like, what? Why? And she was like, well, you don't want it to go to her head. I was like, I don't want her to feel beautiful and cute. Like,
it's crazy how much like parenting norms have changed even in just a couple of generations.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. No, I was like, yeah, no, she never once, I guess she never told me I was ever beautiful or cute or anything like that. Unless maybe probably when I was a baby, but nothing I can remember. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. My mom definitely, it was like underhanded compliments that were actually insults.
Totally. I know what you're talking about.
Right. Yeah. Like, I remember I was in an elevator with her once, and I was like, I was in my bar stage, so I was definitely like, I dressed like Sophie.
Yeah.
And I remember just standing there, and she was like, wow, those are some really nice trashy earrings. Thanks.
Thanks, Mom.
Right.
I had literally, okay, so again, literally just had a baby, have no, you know, spouse around or anything, because he obviously took off. And so then we were in a flood. So the flood happened. And so like our whole town got destroyed, everything. So it was like, I'm going to take this opportunity to fly back home and stay with her while my home gets repaired and whatever. And I show up, and I had dyed my hair. It wasn't a very nice color, but it is what it is. And I showed up and I was like, I had actually flown there with a couple other friends too. They were just going, we were going our separate ways once we flew into Toronto. I get there and she's like, oh God, Dana, you look awful. And it's like, new mom, just went through divorce, just went through a flood, trying
Thanks
to feel
for filling
all right.
my cup, mom.
And my friend looked at me and he was like, have fun. Took off. And then I went to go out with my brother and his wife for dinner and we were taking the kids and I dressed up for the first time in what seems like forever. And I was like, mom, how do I look? And she was like, you'd look better if you had a nice pair of earrings in.
Maybe next time I'll let you borrow my trashy ones.
I was like, yeah, I should totally borrow your Barstar next time.
It's just like unnecessary.
I know. Like, can't you just say you look beautiful?
Yeah, and it's like you want to just scream like, this is why you don't have friends.
Or this Absolutely, is though. A problem. Like, and again, I don't know about you, but I had major low self-esteem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's definitely something that I've had to work through. And yeah, I having babies doesn't help body image issues.
No.
Either.
No, obviously not. No. You just learn to, I don't know. I came to a breaking point at one point where I was like, I don't give a fuck about anybody.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck about what they say, about what they think. All that matters is the people who matter to me and I matter to them. And that's basically what I've been doing.
Yeah. It makes such a big difference when you're not focused on material things or superficial things.
Yes.
Yeah. I know, like for me, I think having like such a supportive partner has helped a lot. Mm-hmm. He's like never put me down or, you know, like even when I was pregnant, I remember one time we were driving, we went to go visit my grandma and I was pretty pregnant with my son. I was probably 7 or 8 months pregnant. And we pull up in the driveway and I just had to cough and I emptied my whole fucking bladder, like peed everywhere in my SUV. Thankfully I had leather seats, but I'm like, oh my God, babe, I just peed myself. And he comes around the side of the SUV with like paper towel. He's going to clean me up, smacks my ass. Like I'm soaked in pee. He still smacks my ass. I'm like, I'm so flattered but grossed out at the same time. Like,
I stink, I'm wet,
and right?
Still find me attractive.
Like, I can't see my toes. And we were in Ontario, like, summertime. So I'm pregnant, my ankles are swollen, peeing myself. Like,
Your
did
sweat
not feel
everywhere.
Cute.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And that does help. It does help to have somebody who is supportive, you know, no matter what. And I think you guys are definitely a match for sure. And like when I knew obviously your hubby's situation with his family, but like, mm-hmm. you know, to hear about yours and your experience and, you know, going to your wedding and just like both of your parents not being there, I was like, oh my gosh, like I honestly couldn't believe that two people had kind of the same, you know, not the same, but in a sense, kind of the same views on their parents. But it didn't take away from your big day because holy crap, your wedding was absolutely amazing. And I still say it was one of the best weddings I've been to in a very long time.
I appreciate that. It was good. I mean, it was definitely a decision that we had to make not to invite them because that was not the plan all along.
It was a last minute type thing.
We did plan for 2 years, our wedding. And I would say the last 6 months for my mom anyways. My husband's mom, his sister actually got married within the same week as we did. And they all just kind of chose one over the other, and it wasn't really a priority. And honestly, I saw how much it affected my husband to have his mom just like, she's kind of just popped in and out since he and I have been together, and her and I don't have the greatest relationship. She doesn't really have a relationship with my kids or my stepdaughter. So I took it upon myself to let her know she was not welcome in our family and not to contact me or my husband or anyone. Yeah, I mean, I am just like, I'm very, once I'm done, I'm done. And obviously my history with my own mom is so long. Like, I mean, at this point, like, her phone number is blocked. She's blocked on Facebook. Like, I have no interest at all there.
Well, and also to protect your babies too, because I know if, I mean, I'm at the point where I'm like, I don't need your toxicity.
Yeah.
Trickling into my kids' lives now.
Exactly. And honestly, when I was growing up, like, I mean, like I said, she wasn't around a lot, but there was a lot of times where, like, I would go see my extended family on holidays and find out from my younger cousins that she had just popped in and visited everybody 2 weeks prior and didn't come see us or sent Christmas presents for my cousins and not us and just kind of, like, really just fucked with our heads. Like, at some point she would, like, call and just talk to me and then not talk to my brother or vice versa and, like, those kind of things.
Just to make you wonder and stir and get upset. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I really didn't want that, I don't know, mind game with my kids. Like, I don't think it's fair for them to grow up thinking that those things are normal. Like, you shouldn't be okay with disrespect and certain behaviors just because they're related to you. And when I ended my relationship with her, I did give her the chance to continue one with my kids, and she showed up once and then didn't again. So I just won't have anyone popping in and out on them. And yeah, because they're so young, I really felt like that was a choice that, like, needed to be made sooner than later.
Yeah. 100%. And that's what, I mean, I think some people who are listening right now is probably more like, okay, being raised by the narcissist. So, I mean, I think this is just kind of a glimpse into the future. And not to say that if you're raised by a narcissist, you're not going to be a huge failure and not everybody's going to struggle. I mean, I struggled with my first marriage because I still had low self-esteem back then. I didn't know I could do, or I didn't know I deserved better. And I put up with a fuck ton of shit, like way too much. Like, I don't know anybody else who would probably put up with the shit that I put up with, just because I was like,
yeah,
I guess I can't do any better. Right. Like, I guess this is just what I deserve. So I'll just take it and whatever. But thankfully the universe works in mysterious ways. And I, you know, he left and I was destroyed, but I did so much. That gave me so much time to, like, be on my own and figure out myself.
You, you totally rebuilt yourself too and your own self-esteem.
Exactly. And, you know, like, people told me, like, you, like, I know everyone kind of says, oh, you deserve better or whatever, but it was more like a, you're better off. Like, you think raising a child with him
was going to be
awesome. Like, it wasn't going to be, it was going to cause more problems than anything. And honestly, like, at the end of the day, like, I could raise my child the way I wanted to. I could make what I wanted to make for food. I could watch TV. I didn't have anybody to fight with. Like, my son grew up, the first, you know, year of his life was tranquil. Like, it was beautiful. It was just me and him. It gave us so much time to just figure, you know, motherhood out. And then I met my spouse now, and it's just been like, I still can't believe it worked itself out this way. Like, I couldn't believe I found someone so early, and now my son calls him daddy. Like, he knows him
he's great daddy. With him.
And he's definitely been someone that brings me back down to earth of, like, you know, just because you're your mother's daughter, it doesn't mean you need to, like, take it.
Yeah.
Like, you can hang
out. It's almost like how, like, affirmations are obviously good for you, but, like, having a partner who can affirm things to you when you're not able to do it yourself is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I more or less just feel you know, I guess as you get older, but I can't imagine being the person who's co-parenting with that. Yeah. So I'm on a Facebook group on Facebook, obviously. But it's called Co-Parenting with a Narcissist. And I don't even really know why I'm on it, but I'm on it. And
because I've too many stepmom groups at this point.
So, and I think I'm just on it because there is some narcissistic behavior, but I feel for these women and men. I see them go on and post stuff and I'm like, you know, they'll screenshot and post, you know, some of their conversations and I'm like, holy smokes. I don't know if I could do it.
No, I know some of the things I see, I'm like, I would be a full blown alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did read that because narcissists often aren't able to develop the ability to be empathetic to others, it said that it didn't change when they have kids. So they generally see their kids as just a possession who can be used to further their own interests.
Brutal.
Yeah. And honestly, so crazy. I was born in BC and I remember my dad telling me that like my mom was pretty normal until I was born. And then he was like, it was like a flip just switched. And she was just like, yeah, if you want to see this baby, like you're going to kind of do what I say sort of thing. And like within a couple of weeks, they moved back to Ontario.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were they together long before they had you?
I think a few years, but like casually.
Yeah.
It's really hard to like kind of know what the actual truth was because now that my dad has passed and I'm at an age where he probably would have told me things more in depth, I only have to go off what she says and I know that it's like 9% truth.
That's brutal.
So.
There's nothing worse than trying to piece together your childhood through the visions of unhealthy visions. Like, I don't know. I have found out a lot of stuff through my adulthood and I have vowed to myself to try as hard as I possibly can not to fuck up my kids as much as they fucked with my head.
Yeah. It's like a how-to book on what not to do as a parent.
Oh my God. And that's like everything that my parents did is like my biggest fear. I like don't want to become that. I know like my own father, like, you know, God love him, but, and he's, you know, like he tries now, but it's like, he was always such a couch potato. He lived and breathed on the couch. He didn't move.
Yeah.
And to this day, I like can't sit down on the couch unless it's like the end of the day and I'm super wiped and I'm going to pass out. I won't sit down and watch TV because I just don't want to become that.
Yeah. I understand that.
You know, so I just like, you know, like my spouse is like, you can sit, you can watch something. You can do that during the day if you have, you know, if you want to just sit and enjoy yourself. And it's like, no.
There's always something to fill your time.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I struggle with that. I also struggle with my happy medium of like trying to not be my mom, but also not let the kids be like complete monsters.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah. Yeah, I struggle with that as well. And it's really hard because there's definitely been times where like a certain phrase or something will come out of my mouth and I'm like, oh my God, stop. I am not my mother. Like,
don't let this happen.
Right.
I did, however, so that's something I guess, I know you had kind of come up with some, I don't know if it was you or you found some stuff on the interwebs about tips for co-parenting with a narcissist. Do you have any of those handy there, Amanda?
I don't think you and I feel like our situations are extreme enough to give two much personal insight. But this is definitely a situation that is works really well with the parallel parenting. And we did do an episode previously on the differences between co-parenting and parallel parenting. So if you are co-parenting with a narcissist, a couple tips are to have a legal parenting plan in place, whatever it may be, pickup locations, times, any of that, so you can't be manipulated or all that jazz.
Guilted or anything like that.
Right? Yeah. Use court services such as the mediator when necessary. Don't just trust that a simple adult conversation is going to save the day.
100%.
Avoid speaking negatively of the parent in front of or with your child. Maintain boundaries. Avoid emotional arguments. If it doesn't have to do with your kids, it doesn't need to be entertained, I don't think. Parent with empathy. Your child may be struggling in ways they cannot vocalize. I mean, like we said, we didn't even really understand as children. Maybe that something was off.
Oh, hell yeah. I knew it was off, but I didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't know the name.
You didn't know what the label was. And it's hard because, like, you feel, maybe not obligated, but, like, it's, you're supposed to love your parents, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So it is really hard to, navigate all those mixed feelings, I think.
I used to wish for a new one.
Yeah, I used to just pretend I didn't have one.
I don't know who that bitch is, but
right.
See, we have humor now because of it.
So another thing that I saw that was really important was, I think a lot of blended families do this anyways, but document absolutely everything, times, dates, locations, any of that. If something happens, you definitely don't want to be arguing with somebody who believes their own lies.
You know what though? Sorry to interrupt you once again, because I do it all the time, but we sometimes, my spouse and I, like, if we're going through that and she says something and it's a lie and blah blah blah, and like we're fighting about it, like sometimes because we're so like almost insecure or like trying to see the good in everybody, that sometimes we're like, wait a second, are we the bad guys right now?
Yeah, like you're not quick to like jump down your throats. You're like, oh, maybe we're reading into this wrong or something. Oh,
right. And it's just
hard being a good guy.
Yeah, it's just us being just so stupid. Like, it's like, no, stand your ground. But
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So just another one that I thought was really important was the obvious. Do not use the child as a go-between for communication. I think this one's really easy to do in these situations because it's not fun communicating with a narcissist, as we all know. And the other thing is reframe your expectations. There will be some challenges, no matter what legal parenting plan or mediation you use. A narcissist just doesn't know how to have an easy life. So expect those bumps and definitely like have a plan with your partner. If the narcissist in your life is trying to create conflict, because I mean, like Dana, you mentioned the gray rock method. I'm not sure if you want to go into that a bit more, but I think that's the only way to handle it.
Yes. So all the terms on the interwebs are my favorite. But so being on that co-parenting with a narcissist Facebook group, and if you are actually dealing with one of those things, and I know it's, I think sometimes it's easy to just say, oh, I'm dealing with a narcissist. Like there's some people on there that are like, oh, I think you're just, you guys just aren't getting along kind of thing. But if you truly feel like you are being, or you are co-parenting with a narcissist, so these people are using what's called the gray rock method. And it involves communicating in an uninteresting way when interacting with an abusive or a manipulative person. So it's exactly what it is. You just pretend you're a rock. You're just super uninteresting. Yeah.
I immediately thought of like when, I don't know if you ever like online dated, but if somebody was like,
my spouse.
Same. Like when somebody like messaged you and was like being creepy and you're just like, okay, thanks. Have a nice day. You too.
Just send a picture of a gray rock. Yeah.
Right.
There is a disclaimer, though. There's like there's no research that it's 100% effective. Yeah. And it may, depending on who you're dealing with, it may make things worse. They may, you know, get upset angry that you're not giving them more. It may escalate the situation. But basically what they're saying is to be brief, be factual, avoid emotional engagement, and just maintain privacy. And unfortunately, that does mean social media as well. So if you have those people on your social media, you're going to have to be private, or you're going to have to make that decision to just not have them on there. That being said, well, and it is really hard because, again, if you've been married or you've been with someone for a long time, you have a lot of the same friends, and you're going to have to decide, like, I don't know, I guess it depends on your situation, but I know when my ex and I broke up, like, everyone kind of kicked him to the curb because he was an arsehole, but, so it was pretty easy, like, and I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not worried about him knowing anything that I post on social media, but if you're dealing with somebody who's, you know, a little too intense, I would just say, like, I personally would just not really post on social media, I don't think, but it's easier said than done. And you don't want someone who's, just because they're, you know, a narcissist, you don't want have them run your life either. So those are just a few tips, I guess, with the Grey Rock method. It's just, you know, just get to the point, just be brief, be polite, and then don't engage. They were also saying that children of narcissists are often overly sensitive, deeply insecure, and unable to see themselves as good, worthy, and lovable, which I think we already kind of covered that before. And that we unconsciously attract it into our lives through relationships, careers, etc. So do you think besides your mother, have you ever noticed it anywhere else before in your life, Amanda?
I actually have ended a couple of friendships because of nothing like too extreme, but just, you just, like you said, you get to a point in your life where you're just like, these things just don't matter anymore. And I want to focus on what does fill my cup. So yeah, I have ended a few friendships like that, but I was really lucky dating wise. I don't really have anything bad to say about my exes before my husband. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it does make me sad in a way, because I guess because I don't have a good relationship with my mom, I always hoped that I would eventually meet somebody and have a good relationship with my mother-in-law. That's obviously not the case in my situation, but I am thankful that my husband does understand some of the things that I struggle with on a deeper level than maybe he would if he had a great mom. I mean, it's a little bit of give and take, I think, that way.
Do you ever, I know I've over the last couple of years have just been like craving a parental person.
Yeah. So we actually have a married couple who's our friend, and they have a daughter. So we get together with our kids quite often. And the husband, his mom actually has been amazing. Like, our kids call her grandma, and she includes them in every holiday. And it's been such a lifesaver, actually, since we stopped talking to my mom. Like, the kids just, they just love going to see grandma, and they get so excited to go and see her. So I am thankful that we've kind of made those relationships. But yeah, I definitely, I guess, wish that we had some sort of parental figure. And I don't think a lot of people know this, actually, but my husband has never met his dad. So that's something that we've been looking into, and I think that's something both of us would be really excited in our lives to have, like, a fresh relationship with a parent, I guess.
Yeah, trying to figure out where you come from is huge. And I mean, I can't imagine how he feels, because I pretty much know where I come from, and I'm still digging on what actually happened, because I feel like I blocked out a lot of stuff. So to try and find out where, you know, like he could have a whole other family that maybe he feels a belonging to.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, yeah, that's something that's like a happy thought we're going to hold on to until we figure it out.
Well, that's super exciting. I hope you'll keep us somewhat posted.
Yes. That'd be an exciting episode topic for sure.
Oh my God. 100%. I would love that. And I think that'd be wonderful. I think I think over the last couple of years, I've just been like, why can't I just have a mom who will hug me?
Yeah, the simplest just, like, things.
Not be mean. Yeah. My Nana, my dad's mom, she was basically my warm, fuzzy feeling growing up. And so I feel like I didn't quite miss out on a whole lot because I always had her. But now that she's no longer with us, I'm like, oh, I'd give anything for one of those hugs right now.
My grandma on my dad's side is actually who I'm closest with as well. Mm-hmm. And I miss her. With Ontario and all of COVID and stuff, it's been hard.
Absolutely. But I think there's, you know, there's things that we miss, but, you know, like, I think it's important for people to know that if you're in that situation and your child, you're co-parenting with a narcissist and your child is going between homes and you just think this is going to ruin their whole entire lives and their whole upbringing, like, if you're doing all that you can and being their support and being their warm, fuzzy place, as I like to call it, of just like feeling like they're home, I think your child's gonna do wonders. I don't think it's a make or break situation. Although I do sympathize with what you're going through, because I can't imagine having to co-parent with it.
Yeah, we're just kind of trying to show you the future and that, you know, these kids will figure things out on their own and see who was there for them all along.
Oh yeah. Like I look back and I know who was there for me. And I know, you know, I just know who my people are now, and that's really all that matters. And yeah, like you said, we've made some friend families out here that are wonderful. And, you know, my in-laws are super close, and although it's not quite the same, it is parental, and like I'll take that all day long.
Yeah, especially for the kids.
Yeah, exactly. At least they have some grandparents, which is nice. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we hope everybody found some of our tips useful, and we know this is not an easy topic. We obviously tried to make light of some things, but we know that if you're in this situation, it can be very stressful. Mm-hmm. So yeah, feel free to reach out for help if you need anything.
Absolutely. And thanks so much for listening, guys, and being a part of our community. And just remember, no matter how unique your situation, you're not alone.
To be a part of the show, make an episode topic suggestion, or to share your story, please email info@anothermotherpodcast.ca. And make sure to follow @anothermotherpodcast on Facebook and Instagram.
Bye, guys.